Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hey, tonight I want to talk to you about restoring your soul. I have a big plaque on my wall in the back of my house. It says, He restores my soul. It's part of the psalm, as you know. But it's a promise that I think a lot of people in the body, we need to take that promise and work with the Lord, work with the Holy Spirit who restores our soul. Jesus paid for our soul to be restored. And you might think, well, what's wrong with my soul? I might have thought that too at one time, but I will say this. Our soul takes a lot of hits in our life. And if you could picture, like if someone came and just really hit you hard, like a big boxer, one of those really big guys with those really muscular arms, he came and he just really belted you one, it would create some trauma on your body, wouldn't it? It would, depending where he hits you. But even if he just hit you in your upper arm, and even if you prepared for it, it would leave you with a big bruise, if nothing else. Well, when you take a hit on your soul, a lot of times, see, we don't see that. We don't see the hit. Can I say to you that most people, probably all people, have taken soul hits over the years? And some of them are positively crippling. And sometimes, because of the plan of the enemy, people take hit after hit after hit, sometimes in the same area. Sometimes if the enemy knows you're weak in a certain area, or you've been hit in a certain area, he wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you from finding your place in God, finding the joy of the Lord, finding your joy, finding peace, finding happiness. So sometimes he'll actually arrange for a cycle of the same pattern over and over and over, where every relationship, and actually the enemy can use people. Sometimes it's just people, and sometimes a weakness in our soul actually draws this type of person. So, for example, I know a woman, she's actually a wonderful minister, and she was saying that she grew up in a home that was pretty abusive, and it was a very rough home, okay? And so there were some terrible things that went on, and she was abused in more than one way by more than one person. But the problem with that is it did some internal damage too, of course, more than just wounding. She began to believe things that weren't correct in God's way of thinking. I'll say it that way. And so one of the things that she thought was, this was the only family life she'd ever seen, so she thought that A, that's normal, abuse is normal, that behavior pattern is to be expected. And she actually thought that when she married, she said she and her husband got in a fight, and her husband was one of the most gentle and loving and kind people imaginable. And they were having just a disagreement. It wasn't even a real fight. They were disagreeing about something. She said, go ahead, hit me. Just get it over with. Just hit me. And he said, why would I ever hit you? Why would I ever do that? I love you. And she said, but we're having a fight. And he goes, well, we're having a disagreement, and we don't see the same thing, but I would never, ever hit you. You're my wife, and I love you. And that was foreign to her, because all she'd known was the wrong kind of relationship. Now, you may not have been through physical abuse, but I know that there are probably people watching who've been through things that have caused you to self-protect. You know, you get near certain behavior and up go the shields, you know, up goes the protection, maybe out come the claws, you know. Sometimes when people, we all respond differently, right? One person who's been hurt will run and hide the next time danger comes. Another person will go on the offense, and they'll start come out swinging. By golly, they'll get you before you get them. And neither of those is well, it's not right or wrong. It's that we even as children, we learn to self-protect. We learn to do the best we can to guard our heart and guard our body and guard, you know, if something came flying towards your eyes, you'd immediately, you'd try to protect your eyes, right? That's all of us would. Well, in the same way, when you're soul damaged, when you're wounded, when you've been through a trauma, and especially for some of you been through serious and long-term trauma, you can start to have behavior patterns that are unhealthy, and they're unhealthy for you as well as the people around you. And there's no condemnation in this. I went through a prolonged time of trauma, and that's how I learned about this. I became so ill during it that I really had gotten sick, but it was from, you know, trauma. I'm pretty tough. I can take a lot, but I'll tell you what, prolonged trauma and soul wounding can be too much for a person to take. You know, there was a man who was a veteran, and he was actually in a Vietnamese prisoner of war camp. And they did horrible things, horribly abusive, terrible, terrible things to the prisoners. And he said, you do what you can to survive. And he said, at one point you think it's, you just have to go day by day. But then if it gets worse, you think, well, I'll just go hour by hour. And he said, at one point he said, I'm just going to try to get through the next minute. And he failed at his attempt, but finally he couldn't take one more minute and he attempted suicide. Thankfully, his attempt did fail, and he came out of that, but, you know, not without some scars. That's what PTSD really is. It's an internal type of wounding and scarring. And the promise of the Lord is he wants to restore your soul. He wants to heal you of the trauma, any trauma that's happened, any wounding, words that were spoken. Words can be very hurtful. Some of the people I'm talking to, this may not be you. Maybe you've had a very good life. You haven't had any of these things. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those of us that have really taken a pounding and are trying to do the best we can, you know, to serve God the best we know, right? And so one of the things I want to encourage you with is that God is not mad at you, and he does not judge you for this. You have an advocate. We talked about this last week. You have an advocate, and his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he actually goes, he actually is like an advocate in court before the Father defending you. And one of the things that the Lord wants to do is restore your soul. And one of the ways that he does that is he'll give us little keys to healing. And one of the keys that he showed me is that he's given us the authority with our words to break trauma off. So if you have been through trauma, either physical, that, you know, you sometimes people get in an accident and they have trauma to the head, but it actually causes multiple disorders, not just physical. Sometimes it can cause emotional disorders, nerve disorders. It can cause all kinds of problems. So there's physical trauma that can cause these problems. There's also emotional and mental trauma when you're in a prolonged situation that's just too much to take. I'll give you an example. When a child is exposed, some children are exposed to things no child should ever be exposed to. And if you grew up in a nice home, this may be a real foreign idea to you. Like, I grew up in a very nice home. We were not abused. We were not hit. We were not taken to see bad things. But I met a woman who grew up and her parents were in a very strong cult. A very wicked cult. And as a little girl, they took her to some meeting where she witnessed things that were burned in her memory. And she was made to do things that her little heart didn't want to do. They were wicked. And even as a little girl, you know right from wrong. But she was made to do them. And it created horrendous scarring. So here's one of the things that happens. When something is too much for a child, what they do is they'll create a, sometimes they'll create a world to live in that's safe, right? They'll fantasize about a safe place, or a place where they're the hero, or a place where they have great power, or a place where they can overcome their enemies. And so sometimes when we meet people who have severe issues, that's why. They went through too much. And so the Lord wants to heal that person until they're able to realize, wait, that's actually a world I made up that's safe to live in, but I'm growing in truth, and I'm growing in the Lord. I'm now able to say goodbye to that area. I'm able to say goodbye to that personality or whatever. And so I know this is a bit strange, but this stuff is real, and it's been way too covered over, I think. I think in the church we've tended to, you know, the church globally has tended to say, well, everything's nice, let's just make nice, these things don't happen. They're far more common than people know. And people are in trouble, and they, where can they go if they can't go to the church? Let me just say that. So in the church, we need to be able to do our best to at least try to understand. It's hard to understand some of the things people have lived through when we didn't live through it. But we could at least pray with them and show some compassion. But maybe you're a person that's been through too much, saw too much, went through too much. It happens, and it's far more common than you might know. And so the word that Jesus has for you today is, he would like to restore your soul. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I break off every trauma. If you're watching this right now, just put your hand on your heart and just receive this prayer. Just receive it and say you agree. I break off every trauma that happened to you in your life. I break off every form of physical trauma, emotional trauma, physical or emotional abuse, the effect of any accident. I break it off your mind, body, soul, and spirit. I even, Father, ask you to heal any memory bank issues, any memories of anything that happened, memories that were blocked because it was too painful. I just ask you to heal all of that. I ask you to heal cell memory. I ask you to heal every person watching this. And I ask you to give them hope again, because there, I feel like there's someone watching that you felt like this is never going to get any better. But the Lord says he has promised to restore your soul. And I think one of the things that keeps us from getting our soul restored is that when we've been hurt too much, we don't want to let anybody into that place in our heart, because we don't want to be hurt anymore. But the problem is, we need to be able to let the Lord have access, right? You could, it's just the same if you went to a psychiatrist or a therapist and you spent 10 years on their couch. They may be able to help you, but if you keep something locked up because of trust, right? Which is likely, right? If you've been abused or traumatized, you don't want anybody digging around in your wound because it hurts, right? And that's very normal. But they can't fix what they can't get at. And it's kind of the same way. I have a dear friend that actually was a missionary in a foreign country. And she rented this house that was a two-story house. She rented it. And there was a locked room upstairs that the landlord stored things in, and it was locked. And she said, these horrendous noises would happen inside that room. And she didn't know if an animal was in there. And she couldn't open the door to troubleshoot, right, or to figure out what was wrong. She couldn't, if there was an animal, she couldn't get it out. She didn't know what was going on in there. But, you know, at night, things go bump in the night. That's a little spooky, right, in a foreign land by yourself, where, you know, she was probably the only English-speaking person for miles. But she couldn't get in that room. And she said to me she knew that God was trying to speak to her, because she had a locked room in her heart that she would not let him go into. She didn't want anybody delving in there. She didn't want anybody digging around in there, not even for the purpose of healing, because it was just too scary. And it was things that happened to her when she was little. And so what I'm trying to say is, there is a trust issue between us and the Lord. When we're going to be healed, the Lord is our healer. The Lord has healed me of so much. I was completely wrecked. My life was wrecked. It was done. It was ruined. There was no hope for me. right? I was a goner, and I'm not kidding. And it was after many years of just going through way too much, and I had become so ill, I just couldn't function anymore. By the grace of the Lord, He got me out of the situation. But then I was still kind of a mess, right? I was broken, just on the inside. I don't think people knew it externally, because I was pretty good at keeping my mask up there. But the Lord began to teach me, and so gently, just one little thing at a time. It's like He began to pull out the pins and needles, you know, He began to pull out the wounds. He began to heal me just one little thing at a time. But one of the things that He taught me during that time is that He can be trusted. You can trust Him with your life. He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you like no one has ever loved you. And He cares for you. And He will never damage you. He doesn't want you hurt. He wants you healed. But just like they call Him the great physician, for me, He was the great surgeon. And I felt like sometimes I'd be crawling up half dead on the operating table, and Jesus would be the surgeon. And just as I prayed and as I spent time in His presence, it's like He was digging things out and restoring my soul, digging things out, restoring my heart, as only God can do. If you've never encountered this, don't poo-poo it and don't say, oh, she's just making that up. No, I'm not. I'm making myself look like a fool if it might help somebody else. It is true. Jesus restores the soul. Do you remember that there were people who followed Him that were rank sinners? Remember when He ate with prostitutes and tax collectors? And the Pharisees had lots to say about that. They wanted to condemn Him because He was the friend of sinners. He said, the righteous don't have need for repentance, but sinners do. I didn't come to heal the righteous. I came to help sinners. He came to help prostitutes. He came to help the abused. He came to help the downtrodden and the defeated and the ruined, the destroyed, those that have no hope of ever getting up again. That was me. Now you think about the story of the Good Samaritan. The guy got beat up, left for dead on the road to Jericho. You know, he was bleeding and dying. And you know, that road, if you study anything about the geography of that area, it was known for harboring criminals because there were these sort of rock walls with caves, and the criminals would wait in these caves to attack people, you know, to ambush them and take their goods. And if you remember this, the priest that served in the temple, they had sessions of the, not exactly 2 weeks, but roughly 2 weeks, where they would go serve and then go back home. And so a lot of priests would come down that road for their service at the temple and then go back home, right, after their session was up, or whatever it was, 2 weeks or roughly whatever it was, okay? And these criminals would be waiting. And so that parable is a story of a guy that's going down the road. He gets ambushed. He gets abused. He gets robbed. He's beaten. He's left for dead. And it says a priest passes by, right? Doesn't help him. Uh-oh. So he finally gets to the part of the story where our good Samaritan comes. He's really talking about himself, isn't he? And he's talking about how we are to be to others. When it's easy to walk by, the good Samaritan stops. And he helps this poor guy, right? And he does everything he can for him. And then if that wasn't enough, he puts him on his own donkey and walks so that this guy can have a ride. And he takes him to the inn. And he says, now, I'm going to pay for his time. And if it costs anything more else, I'll pay for that too on my way back. And he puts him in the care of the innkeeper. And Jesus is talking about a number of things. But one of the things I felt like, to me, it meant was when I was completely broken, done for, absolutely finished, couldn't get up again, my life was destroyed. Jesus Christ came by, and he didn't keep walking. He stopped, and He's stopping for you, and He'll stop for you all the days of your life. He wants to minister to your soul. He wants to bring you healing. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your memories. He wants to heal your life. But there's one thing that I would say to you, if you want him to heal you, you can work together with him. You can work together with the Holy Spirit and get your healing. And it doesn't happen in a moment. I wish it did. For me, it was like a journey of healing, growing stronger and growing more and more healed, and understanding more and more truth was a big part of it. But the thing I feel like I should say is your trust for him needs to grow. We have to trust the doctor. You don't sign up for surgery if you don't trust that doctor, right? If you meet the guy and you think he's a creep, you don't sign up for surgery. You go find somebody else, okay? And what I want to say is some people, because of their wounds, find it hard to trust the Lord because people have never shown themselves to be trustworthy. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was told to go to a psychiatrist, but she said if it was a man, she didn't trust him because she had been abused by men. She said if it was a woman, well, I don't trust her either. And we both had a good laugh. And I said, I can understand that. But there is one person we can trust who will always look out for what's best for you. He will always look out for your best interest and your healing. And his name is Jesus. And so I feel like for someone that I'm talking to, maybe one person, maybe two, and please share this. If you know someone that you think would be helped, just please forward it to them, okay? Because Jesus wants to heal his people. There's people who love Jesus with all their heart, but they are broken, and they need help to get whole. So Jesus wants to restore their soul, amen? God loves you, and I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.